Stephen, how are you?
I'm good, Tony. How are you?
I'm doing very well. What's your take, Kenna? Do you think legally a entity can say we're not going to hire a certain segment of the society?
Well, I mean, I think it's a great question, and I think we're going to see a lot of it in the next 10 or 15 years. There's a very big difference between a decision by a private employer a certain class of individuals versus a decision to fire them. And I think, at least at the moment, most states' laws would allow private employers to not hire based upon someone smoking. But that doesn't mean that that's right, and that doesn't mean that we're not going to see attempts in state legislatures to try to block that in the next, you know, 10 to 15 years.
I'm surprised that you say that, Stephen. I would just think that that would be a civil liberty whether you smoke or not. And why do you think those laws were put in place?
Well, I mean, I think, Tony, I think you're probably right, but, you know, the law hasn't recognized yet that smokers are entitled to any special protection. So, you know, can a workplace refuse to hire someone who has a history of, you know, a criminal activity? I mean, that seems to be well established. Can a workplace refuse to hire someone because they live too far away? You know, that's probably permissible too. So, you know, there's a very important line between permissible reasons for not hiring employees and impermissible ones. And at least thus far, there's no real precedent suggesting that smoking is an impermissible one, especially if the workplace turns around and says, smokers cost more for our health insurance, smokers make our premiums go up. You know, they have at least an economic claim to it, and that's why I think there's going to be debates in state legislatures about whether the state law should account for that, should somehow create special protections for smokers.
Well, if these, if this law, say, stands, say if it's not challenged or if it is challenged and it stands, and it was put in place to protect the employer about paying, I guess, greater than normal health care. What I don't get is if you can do that with smokers, why can't you do it with people who are overweight or people that have children or people who perhaps drive a different vehicle than your company would like? Aren't we getting into dangerous areas?
We certainly are, and I think that's why we tend to see, you know, employers actually not taking these kinds of steps. I will say, though, Tony, that, you know, just to take the examples you mentioned, not hiring someone because of the car they drive, it's hard to sort of make the argument that there's an economic value to that from the company's perspective unless they're an automaker. And indeed, many of the automakers, you know, do actually have policies encouraging their employees to buy from them. Not hiring because of weight, I think that's the next. And that's the sort of related piece of this is, can companies discriminate on the basis of weight, given that increasingly the medical community treats obesity as a disability? And I think what you're going to see there is questions about the Americans with Disabilities Act, which is the federal anti-discrimination law that bars companies from discriminating on the basis of disabilities. We're not there yet with regard to treating smoking as a disability, but one of the things that policies like this one might encourage is that very conversation and whether, in fact, those kinds of private activities should be treated as like conduct.
Stephen, something you and I have talked about several times on this program is federal health care and what would happen should that get to the Supreme Court. As we've talked about many times, it's only a matter of time. Have you heard anything on that front?
Yeah, I mean, so there are going to be three different arguments in three different circuit courts this summer. So the Fourth Circuit, the Federal Appeals Court in Richmond, is going to go first. They're going to hear oral arguments on May 10th. The 11th Circuit down in Atlanta is going to hear arguments on June 6th. And I think the Sixth Circuit, which is near the Federal Appeals Court out in your neck of the woods, is supposed to hear arguments also this summer. So a lot's going to depend on what those three appeals courts do. But once we have decisions from those appeals courts, we'll probably see an effort to get the Supreme Court to step in as early as this fall.
There were some efforts to get this case taken directly to the Supreme Court. Why didn't that happen?
Well, so that actually hasn't been formally resolved yet, but Virginia tried to do what's called a petition for certiorari before judgment, which is an effort to go straight from the district court to the Supreme Court. It hasn't happened yet. I suspect it won't happen. The Supreme Court tends not to short-circuit the appellate process except in cases where there's an urgent time-in question. And here, despite the gravity of the issue, there's just no real time-in question. And so I think that's why we haven't seen the justices jump on the case, you know, early. They'll wait for the normal process to run its course.
There is a new climate change case headed to the Supreme Court. The Audubon Society is involved in a case to sue large electric utilities to force plants in 20 states to cut their emissions. What do you know about that case?
Yeah, I mean, so there's going to be, we're seeing more and more sort of suits like this about trying to go after power companies. The Supreme Court just heard oral argument last week in a case brought by the state of Connecticut against the American Electric Power Company. You know, I think what's going to be the issue here is federal environmental law is not really set up to allow private persons to basically compel private companies to act. It's usually only about the federal government itself acting. So I think where there's going to be movement here, it's not going to be because private plaintiffs are suing. It's going to be because the federal government is trying to get these companies to take this regulation more seriously. And I think that's where the Obama administration is going to have some difficult choices to make.
The U.S. Court of Appeals for the Second Circuit declared that a law is unconstitutional restricting commercial speech. Have you looked into this case?
Yeah, I mean, so is this the pharma case?
Yeah.
Yeah, so this is a case about, this is actually a very interesting case. So in Vermont has a law that bans pharmaceutical companies from a certain practice where they take data about individual doctors' prescription practices and go out to the doctors and say, oh, I see you prescribed this drug but not this drug. Have you thought about this and this other thing? And Vermont passed a law that actually would bar pharmaceutical companies from using individual doctor data that way. And the question is whether this law violates the First Amendment. That case is going to be heard by the Supreme Court tomorrow. It's a fascinating question about, you know, the ability of private companies to data mine versus, you know, the individual privacy rights of individual doctors and their patients. And I think the justices are going to have a hard time figuring out, you know, which way to come down. It's a messy, messy case.
All right, Stephen, thanks so much. We always appreciate your time. Stephen Vladek is a professor at law at American University's Washington College of Law in D.C. Thanks so much, Stephen.
Thank you, Tony. Have a good one.